God is coming to us tonight from Luke 14. I'm going to read verses 12 through 24, which is the text for the message. But so you know, I will be referring to some of the earlier verses in the earlier part of the sermon. But I'm going to begin reading at verse 12. So let's all give attention to the voice of Christ tonight. Luke 14. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go out to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet.'" This is the word of our Lord. May he add his blessing to its reading. Everybody loves a feast. Delicious food, good company, interesting conversation. What's not to love about being with friends and sharing a meal? And who is surprised when they read in Scripture all of the food images that picture the gospel of our Lord? Isaiah 55, then you know these words, verses 1 and 2. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food." Or these words of our Lord, John 6:27, "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you." Jesus speaks of himself in refreshing culinary terms, doesn't he? "I am the bread of life. Come to me, all who thirst." Whenever we take the communion meal, we feed upon Christ by faith. That's the language that we use, and we ought to use it. And what did the angel tell John to write down? Revelation 19:9. "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." Food and occasions for eating and drinking, they give such amazing metaphors for all of God's kind and generous provisions in the gospel. The blessings that come with knowing Jesus are rich, They are abundant, and they satisfy the longings of the soul. Like a good meal, they bring joy to all of those who receive them. Luke 14 records three food stories. One historical account of a dinner party, and two parables about dinner parties that Jesus told while he was at the party. So two stories about parties told at a party. That's pretty good. The lessons he gave were reproving, and they were no doubt shocking to all of those who were there and heard them. To the host, to one particular guest, and to all of the people who were there. Let's take a look at the scene and then give attention to the second parable. Look with me and see these three things. An awkward moment, a generous invitation, and then a shocking exclusion. That will be the outline for the message. First, this awkward moment. Jesus was eating at the home of a very important man. He was a ruler of the Pharisees. Other guests were there, some Pharisees, some lawyers, perhaps others who were around the table. They were there to dine, but they were also there to see Jesus. Not merely to visit with him, but to check him out. They were watching him carefully. It's there in verse 1. And I think you know that when people watched Jesus carefully, they watched him so that they could catch him doing something they believed ought not to be done. It was the Sabbath, and a man afflicted with dropsy was there. We call that condition edema now. He was there near Jesus. I doubt he was an honored guest because Jesus will later tell the ruler to invite the sick and not wealthy friends and relatives. Perhaps this needy man was there as a trap. Guests wondered as they watched, what was Jesus going to do? Would he heal this man on the Sabbath and violate the fourth commandment? But healing the sick does not violate the fourth commandment. That's what Jesus taught, any more than rescuing a fallen son or even an ox. Jesus healed the man and dismissed him. The host was silent. The guests were silent. They had no reply, verse 6. Then Jesus told a parable to the guests to teach them not to seek places of honor. You can see that parable in verses 7 through 11. He saw them choosing the best seats, and so he told them not to do it. It's better to take a low position and be invited to move up than to take the honored place and be told to move down. Jesus was not one for small talk, at least not at this dinner party. He saw things. He addressed things. People who heard him were speechless and no doubt very uncomfortable. And there is more. Let me read again from verse 12. He said also to the man who had invited him, so this is the host, big man, ruler of the Pharisees. Here's what he said. When you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. What a gutsy thing to say to his host. Jesus told him not to invite the very people he had invited, people who were there, listening to his words. Don't be concerned with returns in this life. Inviting people close to you or people of means will provide those returns, but you're not to seek them. Bless the needy. Welcome the despised. Be generous toward the poor with no thought of repayment. That's what Jesus was teaching. The rewards will come when the just are raised. Do what is right now and be patient as you wait for what is coming. What a shocking thing for a dinner guest to say. This is the awkward moment. Imagine being there, hearing the insightful and penetrating words of Jesus. I wonder how long that moment was. The next words spoken were those of another guest. And here are the words, verse 15. Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. What? Was he even listening? Did he not get the force of what Jesus was saying? He did not. And we know he didn't because of these next words. Let's not miss them. Verse 16. But he, that is Jesus, he said to him. The parable of the great banquet, as we sometimes call it, was delivered to him. It was the response of Jesus to his comment. And through him it was told to the other guests. Bread will be served in the kingdom. But there will be people who will not eat it. It will not be a blessed day for them. Now let's take up this generous invitation. And it is generous. It's very generous. The host in the parable invited a lot of people to a feast and then had food prepared for those he was sure would come. When the feast was ready and everything in its place, the second notice went out. Now is the time. The food is prepared. Come and get it. The guests wouldn't come. They gave reasons, but they weren't good ones. I bought a field, and I have to check it out. I bought some animals. I need to inspect them. I have a wife now, so I can't make it. All fine things to do, but there were terrible reasons to miss a feast that was carefully prepared for them. They were weak excuses, offensive ones, actually. They just didn't want to come. Surely the dinner guests who were listening to the story felt the insult as Jesus spoke. The servant reported back, and the master became angry. The people blew him off with no regard for the investment he had made for their comfort. All this effort to provide generously for them, wasted. Unfortunately, I understand this, having once offended a host in a similar way. It's possible that some of you know that I lived for a time in a region of Uganda called Karamoja. I was your missionary there for 11 years. Karamoja is the poorest part of one of the poorest countries in the world. And the Karamojong people are beautiful people. They are hospitable, generous, and they love to prepare food for guests, sometimes at considerable expense to them. Early in my time there, I stopped by a friend's hut to collect something. I told him I was coming. I did not tell him I was staying. But he assumed that I would be there for a while, and he and his family prepared accordingly. So there I was with a couple of my kids looking at this enormous spread of amazing food prepared just for my family. I was in a hurry, and I really had to leave, a concept unknown to the Karamojong people, I came to discover. No one is ever in a hurry to do anything, and no one ever feels pressure to leave anywhere. It's a lesson worth learning, I think. Anyway, I thanked him, apologized, and took off for the next thing. That was really bad form. I later learned how offensive that was and made another apology to this family, who in time became very close and treasured friends. We enjoyed each other around many meals after that, I'm happy to report, so things did work out. But this is how I learned to accept all generous invitations. In Karamoja, you don't refuse hospitality, even if it is inconvenient for you to accept it, especially when food is prepared just for you. I don't know what my friend did with all the food. Maybe he brought in the poor, crippled, blind, and lame to fill his table. I don't know. The host in the parable sent someone to do just that. Done. But there was still room. So the broadest possible invitation went out. Everybody come. Anyone come. I will be host to a lavish feast. I want a full house today. There is a tragic end line in verse 24, but before we get there, think for a moment about God's generous invitation to the world. I'm sure you know that this parable is not really about food, as much as we all like to eat. It's about God inviting people into his home. The invitation is sincere and it is universal. Preparations have been made. All are now welcome to enter the fellowship of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ, the only name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. I hope you all agree with that. Do you think much about the welcome of God? You should. Do you extend that welcome to people you see? Do you love being in God's family? I hope you do. It's a wonderful thing to be a child of the living God, don't you think? I hope you say, I love being a Christian. I am so glad that I have a Savior who loves me, who gave his life for me, who is present with me, makes promises to me, a Savior who helps me and provides for me and protects me and guides me and will one day bring me to heaven, a place of never-ending joy and fellowship with Jesus and with all of his people. I am so happy that I am Christ's and that Christ is mine. Do you say that? Do you want others to join the family? Do you want the world to enjoy the feast? It is a feast, you know. We all feast at the table of Jesus. We're doing it right now, actually, as we join our hearts in prayer and in praise and attention to his word, his promises, and his commands from Scripture. It's a feast. Life with Jesus is a feast, a party hosted by our King. Not that life is easy and comfortable. It's filled with trials. We all know that. We all feel it. Some of you may feel it right now. Jesus did promise that there would be trials. It's never good to pretend that all is well when sin and suffering persist. But there is no need to pretend. Life is hard, pain is real, and some troubles never go away in this life. And we all need to learn how to speak honestly about this to ourselves, to God in our prayers, to others as well. While we long for the resurrection of the just, when all things will be made right, when we will see the Lord Jesus, and we will be like him, 1 John 3:2, and spend eternity joyfully worshiping our Savior with all his saints. But life in this age is hard, and that is why we need Jesus. And hallelujah, we have him. We have Jesus. Jesus came into the world. He died. He rose from the dead. He went up into heaven and sent his Spirit to dwell in us. And right now, Jesus is representing us at the right hand of the Almighty and interceding for all of his brothers and sisters here on earth. He is our brother, and he's not ashamed to say it, Hebrews 2:11, a brother who never fails us. Brothers and sisters of Grace Fellowship OPC, Jesus is there for you. He loves you. He listens to you. He never mocks you. He does not reject you. He loves your prayers and always welcomes you every moment of the day. Do you believe that? You must believe it. I love how one preacher put it, Jesus is a friend who always lets you in and never lets you down. It's true. He always lets you in and never lets you down. Maybe you're here and you don't have a friendship with Jesus. You've heard about him, but you don't know him. You are invited to come, confess your sins to him, trust that he died to pay for your sins, and come to enjoy the forgiveness and the new life that Jesus gives to all who come. You are invited to the feast. Welcome to the feast. Jesus feeds us so well, doesn't he? Here's how J.C. Ryle put it in his comments on this parable. There is nothing that sin-laden hearts can wish or weary consciences require which is not spread before men in rich abundance in Christ. This is how we should understand the mission of the church, of this church, of Grace Fellowship, OPC. Jesus has welcomed us into the home of his Father. We serve so that others would receive his welcome. Here's how one writer put it. The Christian mission is nothing more or less than our participation in the hospitality of God. I think that's a good statement. And it's why we send missionaries overseas. It is why we plant churches on our own continent. It is why you are here in Zealand to extend the welcome of God to this needy place. It's why 330 churches and mission works in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church support those workers across the globe who invite needy souls to come and eat. When you receive reports from missionaries, as you did just earlier this service from our missionaries in Ukraine, you know that the call is upon you to pray for them that they would participate in the hospitality of God. All of our missionaries, all of our members, we're in this together to extend God's welcome. We do participate in the hospitality of our Lord. And so we pray for all of Christ's servants, don't we? And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out more laborers. And together, we compel the world to come to the feast. We compel them. That's how Jesus put it. Verse 23, and the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. That's strong language. Compel them. Don't force them or drag them, but urge them, persuade them, invite them, and surely welcome them. The master's house must be filled with hungry souls ready to eat and be satisfied. The food is ready and there is room. Compel them to come in. The gospel invitation is broad and it is generous. While there is time, there is hope for the world. But there will not always be time. And while all are invited, not all will accept the invitation that is given. So let's move to the tragic end of the text and a shocking exclusion of those who dismiss the invitation of our Lord. Remember that the parable is Jesus' response to the guest who said, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." That's what he said. I mean, you can almost feel the tone of this platitude that he delivered. Oh, what a day that will be, you know. We'll all be there, we'll eat, we'll drink, we'll be blessed. That's what he thought. Not so fast. There will be people who imagine themselves there, but will be excluded because they rejected God's generosity. The invitation to come is generous. It is also urgent. The welcome of God, the hospitality of God, it's serious stuff. There's a lot at stake. Here's the chilling conclusion, concluding sentence, verse 24. "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." Jesus is warning his own people in this parable. The Jews, who were privileged in so many ways and yet trusted in their privilege and not in the one whom God sent to save them, it's there. They were invited. All preparations were made. They did not come. John 1:11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But let's not miss the broader view. We are living right now in the age of welcome. Christ's atoning work is finished, and the invitation continues. And it extends to all people. But here's something else to keep in mind. The warning that Jesus delivers, that extends to all people as well. There are people in our day who think things are well when they are not. Or think things are lousy, but have no idea how to cope with the problems of the world or the trials they face. They are feeding on ideas and patterns of conduct that seem to satisfy, but they do not. They are making a wretched choice, as the hymn goes, and rather starve than come. They are starving while they lay aside the invitation to the feast. Brothers and sisters, it is your privilege to deliver that invitation. Come and eat. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's Psalm 34. And then from Isaiah 55, "Listen diligently to me, says the Lord, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food." Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the word that has come to us today. Help us to live by it, to love your fellowship, to long for a growing harvest, and to make known the delights that come with faith in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.